Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm here with Dylan and Brian, and we are here to talk about Survivor 45. We didn't do a preview for 44, and we also didn't do a finale coverage for 44 either, because we couldn't get it scheduled, and by the time we could, it was like, okay, it's been 2 or 3 weeks, so... But yeah, we're back. We're going to do a quick overview of the Survivor 45 cast. The season starts in less than a week, which is absolutely crazy. Yeah, you guys excited?
A little bit. I'm not that excited. I'm excited to be back and talking with my friends again and like having a week-to-week thing to look forward to. But overall, no. Nothing of this cast really moves it for me, but I'm excited. I guess it's Survivor, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for another season of Survivor. I've spent a lot of time complaining about it. I intend to spend more time complaining about it, but I'm excited for now. Give me in a few weeks when we're 5 weeks into covering Survivor and Big Brother every week, ask me again how I'm feeling about this. But for now, I am excited.
Yeah, it's for me and Brian, with Big Brother starting and going late due to the writer's strike, it's going to be a little, we're going to have to put some extra work in here to cover these shows. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do with the 90-minute episodes. That's like... maybe they'll just use it to make sure that they are able to really cover all of the new advantages and twists. But, my hope and dreams are that they use it to actually show a little bit more of the social discussions and strategy talk. Because that's what I think all three of us care about when we watch Survivor for the most part. We'll see. Cautiously optimistic, but also, it's we've been let down before, so.
The only thing I'm looking for in the first, 30 seconds of when this show starts next Wednesday is there an intro or is there no intro? If I hear that intro music play and they have a full-blown intro, if we have a full extra 30 minutes and they don't include the intro now, then it's officially we will never, ever, ever get it again. So that is the most crucial 30 seconds in human history is when that first episode plays next week and we find out if there's now an intro or not. If there's not, it's officially dead. Officially dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, relegated to the YouTube channel, I think, is where they've been putting it the last few years. Not even, not even once in the beginning or the finale for that. But yeah, I agree. If you don't do it, it's probably gone forever, which is very sad because it's so iconic and so in my mind, it's such a part of the show. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's not. Really such a part of the show anymore, but I'm wearing the All-Stars buff, the original Three Tribes season, hoping that they go back to more classic stuff this season with the longer episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not holding my breath on that one. That's definitely not one that I'm cautiously optimistic about. I think that's done for. One of the few things Big Brother has maintained doing better than Survivor on is keeping the intro, also doing the final two. It is what it is. But I am excited because the modern, I think 90 minute premieres, have, I think, generally been some of the best episodes that we've gotten, especially when they commit to using that 90 minutes to really introduce the cast and tell some of the early story. We'll see. I know that Jeff did an interview and he was like, yeah, we have 90 minutes, which means we can spend so much more time watching people do idol hunts. And it's like, okay, well, I think you're missing the point, Jeff.
Has Jeff ever hit the point with this kind of stuff? He has a whole podcast just being like, everything that you feared is true and real. The podcast. Now with Rick Devins. Good shout out, Rick. Good for him. He's going to be co-hosting on that. I don't know what it's called, On Fire with Jeff Probst.
Something like that. I don't know.
You got a better name for sure.
I've never listened to it. I've just read some of the, I've read people's reactions to it. And it's been pretty unilaterally negative reactions on the whole. So yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much, like I said, my excitement itself is probably at an all time low since we started recording. It also just feels like it's been so much longer in between seasons. I know it hasn't been, but, and like I said, I know I missed the past couple weeks of recording. So last season, I don't know. I'm hoping to be like pleasantly surprised too. I think going in with no expectations to negative expectations can only benefit me, unless it's truly like the worst season ever. So I'm hopeful it's going to be very good. What they do with that 90 minutes is it could be really bad. You know, we could just have so many twists in those extra 30 minutes. If any, the past few seasons have shown us of just how far they're willing to go with twist galore. So I hope it means more camp life. I don't know. I really don't know if it actually will. I feel, and like I said, if we don't get the intro at the beginning, then who knows? Get the intro, I feel like it's going to be all camp life. We're going to have like the best characters ever. No intro. It's just a pure sign that it's all downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we'll see. I do think that they have to really, at a certain point, after this 45, 46 cycle, maybe commit to changing up the format a little bit, because they've been really kind of stuck on this three tribes of six, shortened days, like very like rigidly defined thing, doing this Murgatory twist every single time, to the point where like in 44, they predicted in the end game that they would be made to go to a new camp at Final Five, and they brought all of their camp stuff with them so that it wasn't actually going to be really a new camp, other than the having to rebuild a shelter. So yeah, I think that it's gotten way too formulaic. And even in the first like 8 seasons of Survivor, it wasn't as formulaic as I feel like it is right now. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think they probably peaked in terms of like the swapping at a second chance / game changers. Both had like, you know, two tribes, three tribes, back to two tribe, you know, just like a lot of swapping. And now they've gone completely the opposite, although last season they did swap one person from each tribe onto a different tribe, so maybe that's the first one. But yeah, you're right, they gotta keep the players guessing, because like when it's predictable, you know, Jeff spends a lot of time defending the twists with like, well, we have to keep the players guessing. It's like, okay, but you're keeping the same format, so how's that keeping players guessing, right?
And the same challenges and the same puzzles. Yeah,
let's not get too started on the puzzle.
Yeah. So let's go. You guys have anything else to say on general stuff before we get into this cast?
No, not really. I will say though, I do wonder going forward, with how long this strike goes, I do wonder if God forbid, this strike goes into somehow recordings of 47 and 48, if they contemplate going back to the longer seasons. That's something that I've recently thought about too. Because if they're willing to go 90 minutes, I wonder if they're now willing to go longer seasons just to get that more content. That's obviously, that's like a universal biggest gripe of going back to the longer seasons. Every single person I talk to wants to go back to the longer season. So I'm like very, very curious if that's going to be a possibility, depending on what happens with this strike. I hope to God it doesn't go on that long for the sake of a TV watcher and film watcher, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we got they're gonna do the Survivor Australia format where it's like 24 people for 55 days. Mm-hmm. Something that's like a little much. Really crazy.
Yeah. Have a bunch of non-elimination tribal councils.
Oh my God, the worst.
Yeah, so I guess we can jump into this. What we're gonna do is, because we have limited time tonight, and you know, we could probably go on forever about each of these players, we're just gonna go tribe by tribe, and we're each gonna kind of call out any standouts or any anything with the tribe that we think we're having a prediction, maybe predicting who might be working together, whether the tribe you think we'll be able to win challenges early, that sort of thing. So first tribe we're going to go through is the Belo tribe. It's the blue tribe, which is should be easier to remember, Belo blue. And that tribe has Brando Meyer, who is a 23-year-old software engineer from Seattle, Bruce Perot, who we obviously know as the person who got medevaced day one of last season, 47-year-old insurance agent from Warwick, Rhode Island. Jake O'Kane, a 26-year-old attorney from Boston, one of, I think, three attorneys on the cast, which is something to keep an eye on. Another one right here, Keturah Topps, a 35-year-old civil rights lawyer from Brooklyn. Kelly Nalbandian, a 29-year-old critical care nurse from New York. And Kendra McQuarrie, a 31-year-old bartender from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And you guys have any standouts from this tribe?
Well, so I know we don't want to take like tons of time on specific castaways, but we should talk about Bruce being the first person invited back in this new era. I mean, he barely played the first time. He played one challenge, got one concussion. Not great, but I'm excited for him because I hate it whenever players get medevaced, period, but especially the players who got out early. I do remember when the season was first coming together, people were like throwing out these crazy rumors that there's going to be, you know, kind of a Philippines-esque twist with medevac players on here, like Pat from, what was it, 36, also I heard was rumored, but obviously that didn't happen. But yeah, shout out Bruce. Hopefully this goes better than last time. It would be really difficult for it to go worse, so
that's basically good. Impossible, but you never know.
Yeah, he could we've seen him jumping out of a boat on the promos. He could injure himself then. That would be technically sooner than the first time around.
The oldest person too this season, I don't who's the first
is Julie. Is 49. Yeah, but this is that is something to point out. I believe this is the second youngest cast in the history of the show.
Math is tough. 47 is indeed lesser than 49. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Bruce is the only standout to me here. That and Jake O'Kane being a local guy from around here. Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm definitely rooting for Bruce. Yeah, that sucked last season. I'm very glad he's back, but. Being the older person in a young season like this is going to be difficult, but maybe it's a situation where he's underestimated. This is people on this show would have seen him be injured right before they filmed this too. Mm-hmm. So I that's something this where we can see how he'll play that. Yeah, and you mentioned too the attorneys. You know, I think that's going to just be a whole like circle jerk type thing about people being attorneys and talking about how they're going to use that to read other people too. So that'll be something very fun to watch. But yeah, definitely rooting for Bruce here for sure. Second oldest person. You know, I've been begging for a returnee season, so I guess this is as good as going to get in the meantime. So I'm all in on Bruce for Bello Tribe.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people joking that that nobody expected Bruce to be the first returnee from Tika.
No, right? Yeah. Such a good tribe. Yeah, no, Dylan, sorry. Jeff Rums was like, best I can do is a slightly injured Bruce for you. Yeah. For the returning players. But yeah, interesting tribe. Like you said, Dylan, Jake, you know, someone from Boston, always get a root for, you know, the home town players. Will everybody who's an attorney lie about being an attorney on this season? Probably yes, because everyone's super gamers these days, so they're all pointlessly lie about being attorneys. Mm-hmm. I think Jake will say he's a personal trainer. Mm-hmm.
Physical therapist.
Well, I think he also mentioned that he did like he's like a theater performer, so maybe he could pull that off.
Maybe
he's definitely don't judge a book by its cover. So before before we recorded, I watched some of the Entertainment Weekly stuff on YouTube, and I would not have gotten that he was either an attorney or a theater nerd going into the season. So that is pretty surprising.
Yeah, I know. I don't think Dylan knows Jack, but for viewers who watch Wicked Good Sports and for Brian, he gives me big Jack vibes, which is why I think he'll probably do really well, but not win.
Yeah, Survivor should cast Jack, honestly. It would be amazing TV. Yeah, if we can't have Jack, at least we have Jake.
I was going to say the only other person other than Bruce that is sticking out for me when I watch the videos is Kelly, the mm-hmm. the nurse. A lot of FaceTime in some of those videos. So Meta, I think that she might go far, but she's someone that I'm definitely looking out for as well.
I agree. Those are the two from this tribe that also stood out to me.
All right. Well, do we want to move on to the next tribe then?
Yeah, we can move on. Going on to the Lulu tribe, who will wear yellow, consisting of Brandon Donlan, a 26-year-old content producer from Sickerville, New Jersey, Emily Flippin, a 28-year-old investment analyst from Laurel, Maryland, Hannah Rose, a 33-year-old therapist from Baltimore City, Maryland, Caleb Geberwald, a 29-year-old software salesman from Vancouver, Canada, our single Canadian player on this season.
Yeah, maybe our winner.
Yeah, yeah. Statistically, going to do probably pretty well. Mm-hmm. And Sabia Broderick, 28-year-old truck driver from Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Sean Edwards, a 35-year-old principal from Provo, Utah.
Yeah, so I guess, Ben, we got to talk about Brandon, right? I mean,
yes, of course.
Brandon, tons of mutual friends with Ben and I, mm-hmm. From the Survivor community. I've never met him personally. I don't know if you have, Ben.
I think that we might have like run into each other briefly at like a New York Survivor event, but never really had like a conversation with him. But yeah, definitely a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah, so obviously we'll be pulling for him just because, you know, friends of friends. And, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it would look bad if we weren't pulling mm-hmm. for him, quite frankly. But, you know, from all accounts, he's a really great person and a huge, huge fan of Survivor, like one of the bigger ones. So very fun. And do you think Survivor would let me say I'm a content producer at this point if I went on? Because I feel like that's way more interesting than my normal job.
I mean, you could probably say whatever, right? Like, you know, you could just you produce content. Like, you could just, like, you know, collect the $12 AdSense and be like, yeah, I make money from producing content.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. but yeah. So I hope he does well. We're getting ever closer to like when one of our actual like close friends will be on this show, Ben. I can feel it. This is your big brother.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've gotten like very close a number of times. We've got a lot of like friends of friends beyond Survivor and Big Brother before. So it's almost to the point where like every season I expect to like see a face that I recognize. So
that was the very first thing I did when this cast dropped. It was like, all right, who do I know mm-hmm. on here?
One of the things that stood out to me when I was watching the cast videos before we came on here is how everyone is talking about the very basic corporate jobs and how that's going to benefit them when they play Survivor 2. Caleb was definitely one of them because every software salesperson I know has the easiest job in the world and is sitting on their computer at home and gets like filtered these leads. You know, they do a great job selling it, but I don't think that they're necessarily masterminds in the sales world. So it's always funny hearing people talk about how their job that they probably landed right out of school is going to be what wins them Survivor. Mm-hmm. Caleb definitely stood out to me though, as someone in the videos that outside of his sales job could make some noise. He seems sociable. I'm assuming Brandon is the one with the long hair and the glasses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'll root for him as a friend of a friend of a friend, definitely. Yeah, I'd say this cast is probably the least sexy in terms of like winner's picks for me. But I also said that the same thing about last year's tribe with Jam and Carolyn. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been wrong before, but definitely Caleb's the one that sticks out to me, and who knows, he could be first boot too though. There's a few people here in all these tribes that I would like originally pinpoint out as first boots in other seasons. But I also think that that's just the very judgmental person in me doing that. But I think that's that also just it's my subconscious of me longing for returnees to come back, and I'm just being nitpicky and mean about everyone.
That's actually surprising that you said that this tribe is like the least strong for you in terms of like selecting a winner pick, because I feel the complete opposite. I have out of my like top five that I kind of picked out, three of them are on this tribe. And like also the like somebody who I would say is like kind of maybe a like a sleeper pick or like a potential dark horse also I feel like is on this tribe. So yeah, I mean, it's I personally think this tribe is probably the physically weakest, which is probably their biggest going to be their biggest issue. Is I don't know if they're going to be able to win challenges, but in terms of like actual player potential, I see a lot of player potential on this tribe.
Yeah, I feel like also we're reaching like the potential like event horizon of like young enough to have only entered the workforce in the last few years, but due to the state of the world have maybe never been to an office.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very interesting to see these people socialize.
That's a good point,
in, too. In a big way for maybe the first time. Very exciting. Sean Edwards, 35-year-old and a principal. That's a terrifying prospect to me, being in charge of the whole school in 5 years for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's a much more put together person than I am, but like, God, that seems young, right?
You would be the one of the older people on this tribe too. Should you?
Yeah, well, that's what we were saying, because we talked about the next tribe, Reba. The second oldest person in the tribe is 30.
That's so crazy.
These days.
Yeah, like I said, I believe it's the second youngest cast in the history of the show. So,
I mean, I'm not over exaggerating it, right? Like back in the day, it did feel like you had more like a consistent spread, right?
Oh, 100%.
Of ages.
No, yeah. No, like this cast is definitely like noticeably young.
And why do you, I wonder why that is too. Do you think it's because, I mean, I'd have to imagine too, a lot of people that were younger now were kids of people who were already fans of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it truly is just the second next generation type thing, because you got to imagine there's still people that are, you know, 35, 40 and above that are applying in massive droves, but it really does seem like the past few seasons have been all a majority of younger people. Like, the fact a 35-year-old being the oldest person on this tribe is crazy, because I feel like 35, and it could all just be perception too, right? Of like, you know, 35-year-olds to me back when I was 10 and 8 years old seemed like 55-year-olds to me now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm kind of like incepting myself, but I can't imagine it's only young people applying now. Maybe that's purposeful. That's like just part of Jeff's whole regime of just wanting to push the old out to go in with the new world type players that are like that he loves, that are just completely versed in the game, quote unquote survivor nerds, that are going to practice every single puzzle and obstacle that they can prior to going on.
Yeah, maybe. I did want to point out somebody who did say I'm not to be on this tribe that kind of fits that like theory is Hannah, who to me came off like just a slightly younger and more put together version of Carolyn.
Yeah.
Like it felt like they were trying to recast like Carolyn, but younger.
She has the tattoo and everything too.
Yeah. And I think that Hannah is potentially going to do really good. Maybe she'll live up to that kind of like, you know, the way that it seems like they're trying to set her up. Cause that's a big shoe to fill. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really, maybe it's just a fluke for this one season. I haven't really looked at the ages for 46. So I know that cast has been largely spoiled. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting.
Jeff definitely steals their youth. That's how he stays young himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's like a Blood Boys, right?
Where like yeah,
their energy and
he snuffs the torch at like, you know, a little bit of their youth sucks into him. But
yeah, he's never even done Botox. Just kind
of,
you know.
Yeah. One thing I will say is because of the age, these tribes look like LRG tribes very much.
Yeah, it's like a college survivor game.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, those are fun. So
really convinced a couple of teachers to play.
Right? Yeah. Now Bruce is like the finance professor. They roped him in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no comment. Yeah, we'll see, I guess. Yeah, I do think this tribe has a lot of potential, in my opinion, a high ceiling. My biggest worry, again, though, is like, I don't know if they'll be able to keep up in challenges compared to the other two tribes that seem to be stronger on their face.
The one thing is, like, they put on the other two tribes the oldest man and the oldest woman.
True.
So that I think true. Maybe that's, like, the kind balance, of yeah. an attempt to balance it out.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We'll see how it goes.
We'll definitely see.
There usually is one tribe that is the weakest by far. So, like, you know, you never know.
Right.
But that did work out for Tika last season, long term. So
I am a little surprised, and maybe I can go more into this after we talk about it has to be like Reba. It can't be Reba. That cannot be the name Reba, of the just tribe. It. Okay.
I'm going to call it Reba. Reba, which wears red, luckily, you know, I do appreciate, because I know that they have not done a very good job of like promoting tribe names recently. I do appreciate that the R tribe is red and the B tribe is blue. I guess they couldn't get a Y Fiji name,
but like yellow, Lulu.
Yeah, it's close enough. Close enough. The double L's. So.
And I will say this shade of red, immaculate. These buffs, great. Mm-hmm. Love them. I already ordered them, of course, the day they dropped. So
I was just about to say, I'm good for buying one each season. The red one's going to be mine.
You're the one, yeah. It reminds me a little bit of the Jalapile mm-hmm. buff from Survivor Token Chains, which I thought was also a very nice yeah. buff.
Do we know the merge color? Is it black? Is it
They haven't released it. I don't know if someone's leaked it out there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's primary colors, so I presume either a secondary color or black.
Right, that makes sense. I hope not another black buff.
No, I hope not either. I think green would be good.
Like you did in Token Chains, and it was great.
Yep, the Forza buff, which I have. But yeah, we have Reba. This tribe consists of Austin Lee Kuhn, a 26-year-old grad student from Chicago, Dee Valladares, a 26-year-old entrepreneur from Miami, Drew Basile, a 23-year-old grad student, a second grad student on the tribe from Philly, Jay Maya Krishnanja, a 24-year-old singer from LA, Julie Alley, a 49-year-old real estate attorney, there's the other attorney, from Brentwood, Tennessee, and Sifu Alsup, a 30-year-old gym owner from O'Fallon, Illinois.
I'm personally all in on this tribe. I think that's why I'm making fun of all the other tribes. It's like the bully alpha coming out. Their name's Reba. They're red, like Reba McEntire's hair, and I imagine that's why they named it.
Definitely.
my winner pick, if I can pick, is going to be on this tribe.
Beautiful. My winner pick's on this tribe, so we'll have to fight over that.
I love this tribe. I'm going all in for the exact same reasons you said too, Brian. I love the color. My top two picks are honestly on this tribe, which is great for me. They have the oldest player. I am really hoping the 24-year-old singer from Los Angeles and the real estate attorney and the 49-year-old real estate attorney from Brentwood, Tennessee, kind of create some trouble. I think that'll be great. I love this tribe. We have like a Xander, discounted Xander right there, which is awesome. You know, he's going to mention that he wants to be like an Aussie or like a Joe at some point, which is really great.
100%. Yep.
I am all in on this tribe. We have Drew Basile, or Basile, however you say his last name, basically said that he's like a scumbag Napoleon Dynamite. which was awesome. I love this tribe. I love every single person in this tribe because I think that this is going to be the one that potentially could bring the most like actual drama. And that is totally going back to judging a book by its cover, but also kind of watching some of their interviews. I'm sure all these people are sweet in real life, but I'm hoping
this whole podcast is judging a book by its cover. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm buying in here. I'm hoping that this is the tribe that's going to kind of be that gets the most camera time this season. And like I said, my top two picks are on this tribe as well. So I'm all in on Reba.
So Drew, I just want to say, is distractingly tall. He's a real throwback casting to the days, you know, the Mitchells, the skinny Ian. Ryans. Yeah, Ian, where it's like, let's just cast a freakishly tall guy. That'd be mm-hmm. interesting visually. So rooting for him, scumbag Napoleon Dynamite, self-described. But I think this tribe will be fun. I don't think, as much as her age makes her an outlier, I feel like she's not going to be the first one out just because she's the oldest. That'd be so lame. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens.
I agree with that. I think that Julie is going to probably do okay, despite her being like a massive outlier from the age perspective. I think that Drew has a high ceiling in terms of like being an Ian archetype.
Pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended. In terms of being like an Ian, but with maybe like a more of a backbone. But yeah.
Well, if Ian had a backbone, he'd also have $1 million. So
there you go. The person on the tribe that I'm the most interested in and that I have on the top of my list, and as I mentioned before, I have only one person from this tribe is in my top five, is Sifu, actually. I think that he could do really, really well. He seems to have like a lot of like natural charm. I think that he is somebody that could like really like socially bond with like a wide swath of people. So from that perspective, I'm mostly interested with him from this tribe. I'm like cautiously optimistic about D and J Maya, but I don't really think either of them have like a ton of staying power. And I just cannot, I don't think that Austin has any kind of killer instinct from what I've seen. I don't think that he's going to do well. He could be I think his like dream outcome is to like be like a watered down Malcolm, but I don't even think that's like really ambitious.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of our dreams just in life to be a watered down Malcolm.
True.
Yeah.
No, I mean like even being a watered down Malcolm is still really good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my thought. It's funny because I think that me and Dylan have just complete opposite rankings of these tribes, because they're definitely 3 out of 3 for me.
One out of one for me. The only tribe I care about.
Something's got to give. Next Wednesday when it starts.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who ends up being right. Bilo is Bilo the one that Brian's putting his flag in? I don't know which tribe Brian thinks is the strongest.
Well, yeah, I guess I got to pull for him, right? If you guys are.
Maybe that's just a better way to do it now. Yeah, it's three of us, three tribes.
So we can guarantee one of us wins.
Right. We'll do our actual winner pick and then we'll each have a rooting interest tribe.
Yeah.
I think it should be fun. I do think the cast looks good. I'm very hopeful for this to be a good season, like we said. And do you want to just go and do winner picks?
Yeah,
let's do it.
I know who mine is. I know Brian. We rolled dice and it was me, Dylan, Brian, but it seems like me and Dylan wouldn't even be conflicting on our picks anyways from what we've discussed. So
I'm very interested to see your guys' picks. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I gotta go. I gotta do it. I gotta pull for Brandon here.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Not just because of like connections, but or because he's a fan, or because I think that he's well positioned in the tribe, But also from a meta perspective, if we look at the preview for 45, I don't want to dig too deep into this, but looking at the preview for 44, the Tico 3 all got an enormous amount of focus. And so like in hindsight, that makes me, be like, oh, well, maybe the producers are just like, you know, blatantly kind of leaning towards the important players in these previews. And looking at the preview 45, I mean, like Brandon is by far the standout from that preview. He not only gets a setup, but he also gets like the stinger payoff, where he's like, yeah, my great grandmother was poor and couldn't pay rent, so my grandfather went out and robbed a bank. And then he gets away from it, and then we go to other people, and then he comes back for the payoff after. He's like, this is my bank. I could rob these people. So I don't. To me, okay. Like they're setting him up. He's like he feels.
That is
like
a gangster line.
Yeah, it's a gangster line for sure. Presumably, we're gonna see the line in the premiere because that seems like a premiere line, and then cut to commercial.
Yeah.
So like I don't know. To me, he's like at least going to be a focal player for the season, guaranteed. So with that in mind, I just have to put my flag in Brandon.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's extra fun because he's gonna be like, you know, a super fan favorite. So like, mm-hmm. We'll go through the highs and lows as a show with like the other super fans. You know, he's mm-hmm. our analog on this season.
All right, Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan, who you got?
I'm so sick of the super fans. I hate them all, but unfortunately, I think every single pick in this.
You're stuck on a podcast of two of the bigger nerds.
I'm going with scumbag Napoleon Dynamite. It stood out to me in the all the cast previews I saw. He's just a massive walking beanstalk. Like you said, he sticks out like a sore thumb there. I am all in on scumbag Napoleon Dynamite. That's all I'm going to call him for the rest of the time. Very young, one of the younger players in the season. Is he the youngest?
Tied for the youngest. Also 23. Yeah,
tied for the youngest. Yep. I'm 23 is very, very young. But something about him stuck out to me. So as a Reba guy, I'm gonna go with a Reba player, and I'm going with Drew. I will say because I don't think that Brian's gonna pick them. My runner up was D. I got a lot of good vibes from D in the trailers. I know Ben, you said that she might kind of just be like a middle of the pack player. I think that maybe she's gonna be one of the ones to stick around. A 26-year-old entrepreneur in Miami. Who knows what that means?
I actually looked into it. She co-owns a outdoors kind of thing. She sells like knapsacks and like outdoors equipment.
That sounds about right. A young entrepreneur, young businesswoman. I like her a lot too. But Drew stole my heart in everything I watch. So I'm all in on scumbag of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur in Miami can mean like, feels like code for being a Coke dealer, but she does.
What do you think's in those knapsacks?
Yeah, that's actually. All right. So I got to go with someone on Bello to keep it, you know, even and all that. Also I'm wearing a blue buff. So, you know, it's very fitting. And I said at the top, I enjoy rooting for people from Massachusetts, so I'm going to go with Jake. My blind loyalty, it's paid off a couple times. Michelle, Jeremy, obviously, mm-hmm. Potts and Rob, even though he was well into his being a Florida resident at that point. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Jake can bring it home for us.
Yeah, I mean, Jake is definitely my top pick. Jake was the one player for my top five who's on that tribe. And the rest of my top five for those playing at home were Caleb, Hannah, and Sifu. Those were the five
people. Caleb would have been my pick if I didn't feel compelled to do Bello.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
yeah, I think he's going to do really good. I think he's, like I said,
the Canadian aspect, it feels like they're just better at it up there.
True. Yeah. I mean, two out of the three in the new era won, and Kane did pretty good. And, from post-game stuff, a lot of people seemed to really respect his game and thought he was, he didn't really get the shine he deserved on the edit. So, yeah, it's definitely good, it's probably a fluke, but you still got to respect the stats. Cool.
Yeah, they just had to have the first Canadian do really horrible so the rest could thrive.
Yeah. I guess we have anything else?
I'm just still in awe of how tall Drew is now that I'm looking at the full cast photo. The next, probably the second or third next tallest person next to Drew is Caleb, and Caleb's afro is pretty big, and is at best touching Drew's chin in height, which is wild. He is a freak of nature. I'm in love with him. I'm all in.
I guess what we could do is ask, are we going to get canceled for picking the three white men in the season for our winner picks?
Oh no.
No.
Oof. Didn't think about that.
I'm picking I pick Brandon 100 times out of 100, so come at me, Survivor Twitter.
And I would have picked Caleb, like I said, but
here we go. Why didn't you pick Caleb then, Brian?
Sorry, Jake. I gotta throw you under the bus.
You went with the next whitest male you possibly could have.
From Boston, nonetheless. it keeps getting worse and worse.
But that's fine though. Bielo, I think that they're probably gonna be able to coast. So I think that I feel pretty good that that Jake is not really going to be a target at all until the merge. So,
telling you, I think you guys are really, really sleeping on Reba, man. Reba.
I'm excited to see what Reba can do. But yeah, we'll see.
And I dare them to come out and say something like Reba, the first episode.
Oh, they
dare
will.
Do something Jeff dumb will. Like that.
Reba.
Yeah, Reba. I'm sure it's the name of an island in Fiji. That's what all these four-letter tribe names have been.
No, they're birds.
All these are birds.
Yeah, they found heron, owl, and goshawk.
Oh, are they just like the Fijian words for?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what they've done for the new era. They've all been Fijian words, and they've all fit like a certain theme. Like one was like geographical things, and like one was like water and fire or something like that. I don't fucking know. Something
Reba like that. Is apparently a Fijian sparrow hawk.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fierce. What is Bella? It looks like a crane, maybe.
This is heron.
Oh, a heron.
Yeah, and then Lulu is an owl.
All right. I like it. Three powerful birds right there.
Yeah. And then, maybe it's like a brains brawn beauty thing? Because, like, you have, like, heron is, like, the, like, strong bird, and then you have, like, owls, like, the smart bird, and you have, like, the hawk is, like, the beautiful bird, the sparrow.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
we should do another season like that. Just something to make these seasons stand out from each other. Please.
Yeah, I mean this. Yeah, then no real themes, no real season names is definitely making me feel bad about shitting on Healers, Heroes, Hustlers.
Dude, I was definitely one of those people who was like, oh, it's fine. Big Brother doesn't have themes, you know. And I can keep all the Big Brother seasons pretty, apart from one another. I will be 100% honest. In this off season, there have been times where I was like, who was that? Or which season was that person on? Like, did they play with that person? So, like, I don't think Survivor's been helped out with just switching to numbers only, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. If they, again, it seems kind of locked in, but you never know. Maybe maybe in the 50s they'll change it. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and, you know, this could be the last cycle before an All-Star season, maybe. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I will see. I mean, you know, if we're really mirroring, like, you know, drop the four, keep the one, and, you know, 48 would be like the natural logical time to do an All-Star season, because 8 was when they did the first All-Star season. So we'll see.
Yeah. Is any, and this might be a hard question to answer, Ben, but are, and it's also nostalgia goggles, and Survivor was a lot more popular. Do you think anyone of this new era is like iconic in the same way that some of those old contestants felt?
I mean, I would say not in the same way for sure. I mean, like, yeah. I think definitely of the new era so far, I think Carolyn is like the most standout character, player, whatever. For me, at least.
Yeah, like you are casting an All-Star season. You're casting Carolyn. Mm-hmm. You're casting Jesse, probably. Yeah.
Jam.
Yeah.
If they allow winners.
Yeah, they got to do the winners so that they can get smoked immediately. That's like the rites of passage of an All-Star season.
I think it just shows to just personality. I don't know. You just need someone with personality to make something entertaining. Obviously, Carolyn had her moments of just kind of like acting batshit insane, but she was both a good player that had personality. And like, on paper, it doesn't seem like you're asking a lot, too. I don't know. It just seems like we get so many unauthentic people now, or maybe people that are too authentic to just being straight and narrow. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think we've talked about it before. We need people that are going to be the ones that kind of stir the pot, but it also seems like in this day and age, maybe that's not a route these networks are willing to go anymore. I don't know.
No, definitely not. Dude, it's so bad too, because like the online fan base is so insane. That's like, they'll just ruin your life if you're a villain.
Survivor. Like,
what's the point?
Survivor Reddit is one of my least favorite Reddit pages on Reddit that I go to regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like I feel that way about Reddit across the board. to be fair, I think the Reddit formula is like has a lot of pros to it, but also intrinsically promotes toxicity. So I don't really think that you can really do much about that.
Right.
So I don't know. People are going to be people. I thought Danny was an okay villain last season. I think that most people's complaints about him was him being like being annoying and salty postseason, and like on social media.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Which like, I mean, look, if you like, you know, I and Brian and I and Chad also talked about this with our Big Brother coverage in terms of modern villains on reality TV. Like it's hard to really thread the needle of like people who are like self-aware that they're villains and like really lean into it, because usually the best villains come about naturally because they're like people that you just generally don't like, and they're like really kind of like selling that persona. So yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I think like Fair Play kind of showed the way to do it for Survivor in terms of like leaning into being a villain and like playing a character to a degree. But it's very hard to replicate that.
Yeah, it's so hard, but when it works, it's really great. You know, yeah. Fair Play, Dr. Will, Dan Giesling, you know, either of them on Big Brother, you know, if you can thread that needle, it's iconic.
I was going to say, but I think someone like Russell is like the ultimate villain for me. Someone that is just completely and totally unlikable, but is can play a good game, playing the villainy. I think that's something I'm desperate for. And that's something I also don't know that we'll ever get. Cause like the example you just used of Danny, I think any other season or any of the earlier seasons, Danny would have been considered a hero rather than a villain with his play for the most part. I think look how many times back in the older episodes of people that weren't immediately shaking hands like after they lost the challenge or something like that. Because I didn't see that that's something that people bring up a lot too, about Danny being like a quote-unquote sore loser. I haven't seen anything he's done on social media since the show's aired, but the competitive aspect of that, of not everything kind of being kumbaya right after a challenge, is something that I think mm-hmm. the show is desperately needs as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think too, like you said, I haven't seen what Danny did because I didn't follow anybody from last That's season. Fair. Like, I think I've kind of settled into a good, like, oh, I don't really care about these people outside of the context of Survivor. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not going to be involved in what they got going on online anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I used to be like, yeah, this person, I love them on the show. I'm going to follow them. And now I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, 100% I agree. I do think that also goes back to like, in terms of like the new era, not really producing icons at the same pace as the show has historically done. Even through like the mid into like the more, like even into like the 30s, I think it's probably more that you could probably point to.
Who's the last new icon? Kelly Wentworth, maybe? If you can even count Kelly Wentworth as an icon.
Like maybe Michelle? Like, I guess it depends, like, because, like, it's hard.
Mike White.
Mike White, honestly, agreed.
Oh, my, Mike White's a famous
also,
person.
Also,
Survivor.
I mean, this is something I didn't bring up with Brandon. Brandon said that Mike White was his favorite Survivor winner.
He's trying to get on the White Lotus, of course. Yeah. Season 3, you gotta, you know, have a Maitre Dean character with one line. That's gonna be Brandon.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it would probably have to be like a new era winner that was on Winners at War.
Wendell, So they get him so dirty, the edit.
Yeah, that's why I said Michelle, because like Michelle actually like did well.
Yeah,
Everybody we're naming are all people I like.
Aubrey, so, maybe, but like Aubrey kind of fizzled because
she should never come back for Edge of Extinction. That was horrible. Literally the worst possible scenario for a returning player.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the two of the people that came to mind were, like, for me, were Michelle and Aubrey, which, like, both came from Kerrang, which is, at this point, like, 7 years ago. So.
the last iconic season.
Yeah.
Kerrang. I can see that. Maybe Christian.
Like Angelina.
Oh, yeah, Angelina. That's the answer right there.
Yeah, Angelina's probably the answer in terms of, like, the latest they started.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that is just like the meme of Angelina and like the jacket and everything, but 100% someone who I would fist on the table, be like, she needs to be on the next All Stars. Mm-hmm. Jeff, come on, you got to give the people what they want.
So yeah, but I mean, it is telling though that we're all of the people we're saying are basically from only two seasons in the 30s.
Yeah,
oh, man, what those are. Great couple seasons, though. Hell of a ride.
They really were. Yeah. Great seasons.
I'm a big Kerrang defender.
My favorite seasons altogether, like combined, are probably all in the 30s or late 20s.
It's also like for Kerrang, just the toughest spot. Those, you know, Vanuatu, what was it, Gabon,
Nicaragua. Yeah,
Kerrang. All those after giant anniversary 41. All-Star seasons. Yeah, Kerrang 41. So tough to like stand out and to be remembered. So even more impressive that Kerrang is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm also a big Nicaragua defender, in fairness, but
yeah, something with Drew that I didn't bring up was in his bio, he was like, yeah, I got into the show when I was 10 years old when I watched Survivor Nicaragua, and I had to like stand up for my computer
because I was too old. That's horrible.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
That season came out 2011. Senior year of high school for me. That tough. Tough to hear. He was 10 years old for that. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking back then with Heroes versus Villains, like, wow, this show's been on for so long. That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us now.
Yeah, I guess anything else before we wrap up here? We have a hard stop in a couple minutes.
Yeah, so. gotta get out of here. I don't have anything other than plugging, so you guys take it away.
I'm just falling down a Nick Wilson rabbit hole right now. If anybody wants to talk about that in another episode.
No, we do not. Yeah. That is the Nick last who? Thing I want to talk about. Yeah.
Anyways,
it's crazy that Mike White won Survivor. That is really wild.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks. I loved Nick on that season. He sucked in Winners at War, but
right? And it turns out he just sucks. So
it's also like, man, Mike White and Winners at War would have been killer.
It would have been so interesting to see him interact with the people in that cast.
I mean, I would have put Fabio on there for all I care.
Yeah, what happened to Fabio? He was my, like, before, and I'm sure Ben, you feel the same way. For years, whenever it'd be like, who's going to win the all-winner season? It's going to be Fabio.
Yeah, Natalie White, also a popular pick.
Natalie White, yeah. And then they put him on, and they knew he was too powerful
mm-hmm.
for the Winners at War season. Yeah. Like, this is just, we got to give everyone else a chance. We got to give Tony a chance out here.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I have nothing to plug other than my Twitter. I don't really use Twitter much these days. And if Elon makes me pay for it, I'm going to be deleting it, so...
Yeah.
Samesies. I don't really go on much. Just follow the YouTube channel, follow the TikTok. Brian will plug those, excuse me. But yeah, no, same. I'm very rarely on Twitter now. If I am, it's just to check like any sort of sporting news or mm-hmm. anything like that. But I'll probably be a little more active for Survivor. It's DJ Clever Lang. You see the @ in the video.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter until the Make Us Pay For It, of course, at the Fake Be More, VMARR channel is on Twitter @ We Get Everything. This is, of course, Better Radio, where we have all of our podcasts here. Maybe we'll get a Wicked Good Show going at some point, Dylan. I don't know what we can really talk about with all the shows struck.
Oh, now. Man. Yeah. I don't know. It's all in my yeah. That's a, yeah. We'll figure it out. We've been trying to get this show back going for like a year now. Right. We'll figure it out.
And then we have the Have Not Room, of course, Ben, Chad, and I covering Big Brother, which is about to start in a few minutes here for a double eviction. So that's very exciting.
I will quickly just point out Wicked Good Show's on hiatus in support of the strikes. So
yes, yeah, that's it. We've been on strike the longest.
We were preparing.
We pre-striked,
yeah. Studios were like, we don't know who you are. Please leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so please check out all our podcasts here. The main channel is, of course, We Can Get Everything, a Survivor fan. Keep an eye on that channel. I get something cooking for you that I hopefully will be filming next week with Tamor. So, stay there. And then we have our We Can Get Sports channel where I talk about all the major sports over there almost every day. And other than that, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.